to Small Worlds Podcast. My name is Corey O'Flanagan.
And I am Leanne Davidson.
Today we're going to be talking about Goa, India. We're going to take you through some of the history of India's smallest state, who should go and when, some itinerary suggestions, and we're going to end it off with an interview and jam session with local Jono.
If you do like us, don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave us a review. Corey needs some more tears at nighttime, so.
Or some more pep.
Depends where you're going from. Don't forget to visit us at www.smallworldspodcast.com. And to keep up with our latest travels and ridiculous photos, visit us at Instagram and Facebook at Small Worlds Podcast.
Small Worlds Podcast is brought to you by Avail Car Sharing. Skip the rental lines and avoid the paperwork. Avail Car Sharing makes driving easy by connecting locals who have cars with travelers who need cars. They are supported by Allstate Insurance coverage on every trip.
Avail's now available in Denver, Chicago, Phoenix, Houston, Dallas, and Salt Lake City. So use the promo code SMALLWORLDS to get $15 off when you book a car today. Learn more at availcarsharing.com. That's A-V-A-I-L, carsharing.com. So today we are taking you to, drumroll, Goa, India. Tell us more, I hear you say. Well, Goa, having been under Portuguese rule until 1961, is a little bit different from the rest of India.
Indeed.
Evidence of the Portuguese rule is everywhere, from the architecture. Most of the buildings are this European-y style. Let's pretend that's a word. Super colourful. And there's just a general laid-back atmosphere from the people and the environment anyway.
It's not as hectic as other places in India that we've been to so far.
And there's also an abundance of Catholic churches, which is quite unexpected in India.
Yeah. So Goa kind of had its initial uprising in the early 60s after it came through and took it back over from the Portuguese. Late 60s and 70s, it becomes a point on the map for people traveling the hippie trail.
Check out more online if you do not know.
Gotta look into that if you love anything about travel. It is a pretty cool little way from Europe to India and even getting down into Australia that people came and started discovering these areas back in that time. But so Goa has its another little revolution in the 90s and early 2000s with the introducing of the psychedelic trance electronic scene. And it comes in and makes for some now legendary parties. These have slowly become smaller over time as the government has interfered. Just saying, we don't necessarily want this to be a big drug and party scene, but we like the money that comes in from the tourism, so we're not going to put the kibosh on it completely. The parties remain, but they're just not quite what they were, as not all scenes last forever. So, Leanne, who goes to Goa?
The party goers, the beach dwellers and sun worshippers, and the yogis.
Yeah, you're going to see anything from a sunrise yoga session to late-night drum circles, and even surfers will be pleasantly surprised if that swell kicks up.
The best time to go is between late October through to March, and between that time, the busiest is definitely Christmas and New Year. Here you can kind of expect the crowds to multiply, the buildings to multiply, and the prices to also multiply. Everyone kind of flocks here for the party season and some winter sunshine. Outside of this time, there's monsoons, so that is definitely not recommended. We hear it's pretty treacherous.
It's bad.
Real bad.
Yeah. So if you're coming here, there's plenty of ways to do it from low-end to high-end budgets. I think that this place can be done as cheap as $20 a day without losing much of your comforts. That's going to get you a spot on the close to the beach, if not on the beach, depending on when you're here. That'd be $5 to $10 a day. You can get pretty solid meals for under $5 easily. And then from there, it just kind of depends on how much you want to spend on parties and excursions. If you're looking at the high end of things, we've seen resorts here that are renting really nice deluxe rooms at a five-star place for over $200 a day. So it really just kind of caters to every type of traveler. But if you are a budget backpacker, this should be on your destination if you're coming to this area, because it is beautiful, it is cheap, and you can get by and have some really amazing food, some really great accommodation, and not really break the bank too much.
To get here, most people arrive via the Goa International Airport, which lies bang smack in the middle between North and South Goa, which are two really different areas. And if you do have the time, which we'll talk about in our next segment, you should definitely check out the two and see which one is for you. The north side is being more of a hippie side with more of a nightlife and a few more markets and things like that, whereas the south is more of a resort type of place. You've got the resorts, and then outside of the resorts, you pretty much have very much local areas.
Yeah. So if you're going to come here, we like to try and suggest a few itineraries for you. Not everybody has the same amount of time. Not everybody travels in the same way. So we kind of like to cover all of that. So if you're coming to Goa and you've got 1 week, we'd say find yourself a beachfront accommodation. Spend your days enjoying morning yoga sessions, the cool Arabian Sea, maybe getting some $5 massages on the beach, happy hour sunsets, and check out a late night dance party or two.
If you've got 2 weeks, why don't you step that up? Do all of the above and enjoy the general atmosphere of Goa. But then if you're feeling a bit more explorative, is that a word? Explorative?
That'll work.
That works. Why don't you rent a motorbike? Or if you're a bit more worried about driving here, just rent a driver for the day. And just explore the inland. There's an abundance of waterfalls and forts. And if the inland isn't really your thing and you miss the ocean, there's so many beaches in the area, all offering something different.
Yeah, go up and down the coast, but if you've got 2 weeks, make sure that you check out both the north and the south. Get a feel for both of them, see what you like more, because we think that you're going to want to come back. So, if you've got yourself a month or more, go ahead and rent an apartment. You're going to save some money that way. It's going to be furnished. It's going to have a kitchen.
Which you probably won't use because the food is so cheap and so delicious.
Eat out as much as possible, guys. Don't bother making your own food here. Let the pros take over. But if you've got that amount of time, why not take a yoga teacher training course? You can become a surf instructor if you want. And be sure to spend some adequate time in both the north and the south again to experience this tropical paradise. Now, we've got Hot Tips with Leanne.
Hello, I'm Leanne, and here's my Hot Tips. Just make sure you're here on a Saturday, because there is an absolutely amazing Saturday night market in Arpora. It's also known as Ingo's Night Market. When you are searching for this, do be careful, because there are about 4 night markets on a Saturday night in this area. But if you get a ride there, they'll know where to go. You can find it on Google Maps as well. Basically here, it's this humongous night market. There's so many trinkets, dresses, jewelry that you can buy. There's also live music, a bar, so much food, and there's even a DJ set for those who want to continue after hours. For the girls, a good tip for you, Goa is not like the rest of India. I'm sure the girls are all a little bit worried about India. It kind of has a bad rep for female travelers. Honestly, as a blonde girl, this has been my most, the most ease that I've had in India. You can wear a bikini on the beach. You can wear your shorts and a crop top. You're not going to get the stares or the grabs that I've experienced in other parts of India. Obviously, if you're leaving the beach area, just be respectful of the local culture. But you can. It's okay. It's more relaxed. It's more Portuguese, like we said earlier.
I think these are pretty good tips. I think you definitely got to check out the market. It's India, but it has a different feel than being India, and I think once you get here, as long as you've experienced another part of India, you'll understand what that means. But don't take our word for it.
Listen to Jono.
But first, go ahead, do us a favor, and go hit subscribe. You won't regret it. So we are here in the lovely North Goa beaches of Goa, India.
You mean the beaches of North Goa, India?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. And we're here with Jono, as the locals might say.
Or Jonathan, as his mother might say.
Hello, hello.
And so to give a little background on Jono, American accent, Japanese raised.
British passport.
British passport. Mm. We're as confused as you. How is everybody?
Still trying to figure it out. But yep. You American, British, Japanese, Indian combination. give us a brief history of your life in Goa and how you came to be here.
So, speed introductions, speed dating. basically, my parents were, or they still are, two kind of English hippies who dropped out and ended up traveling the world, doing good wherever they could. And I grew up with them on that road, really. And it took me through a bunch of really cool countries when I was a tiny baby, which I don't remember. And then we ended up in Japan when I was about 5. And around the age of 12, my dad started to take us young people from Japan to India to show us something more than just what we knew. And I loved it. I thought it was the Wild West and that anything was possible. And in particular, I wanted to be able to paint a giant Michael Jordan on the side of a house. And I just thought, well, this is a country where that's possible. And that's kind of what kept me here. When I was 15, we did another trip and we came to Goa. Up until then, we just visited a few other cities in India. And I hadn't really felt quite at home, although I knew India was a place to be. And we came to Goa and I was like, yep, this is it.
This is where it got unique
because at 15, you went to your parents and told them, I've figured it out. And they were like, okay, he has figured it out.
Angel boy has figured it out his life. What had you figured out,
that's
John?
Well, my parents are both seekers. You know, they really believe in the search. And so when I told them, I don't know what I want to do with the rest of my life, they stopped and listened. And basically, I told them I wanted to be the kid that was taking the beach beds out in the morning from the beach shack and laying them out for the tourists and then pulling them back in the evening. And they were kind of okay with it. They weren't, like, super impressed, I'll be honest.
But at least you had direction. Most kids don't have a fucking clue what they want to do.
Absolutely. So I kind of basically have been doing that in varying degrees and, you know, different ways, yeah. That's kind of been me for the last while.
So you've been in Goa for close to 20 years.
Yep.
What was it like and how has it changed since you first arrived? Because I'm pretty sure that's pretty vast.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, when I arrived here, like I said, when I was 15. And so my first interaction was, you know, like kind of that of a 15-year-old. I was playing football on the beach and running around kicking a ball and hanging out in monsoon and, you know, just being a kid kind of thing. But I was always aware that there was this crazy world going on around me in Goa, and there was all these people who just, basically, everybody was really free. That was kind of the feeling I got, that everyone
was...
That's
the feeling that's still here.
What year was that you were here, sir?
It was the season of 99 and 2000.
What a year.
Yeah, Y2K. Right?
That's it.
Fucking
yeah.
Y2K.
Big change. in those days, there was a lot of the big party still going on. I did meet people that told me, no, you're too late. You missed it. You should have been here years ago.
Is that not the same everywhere, though? Everyone says that now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
oh, you should have been here,
so.
What it was like
believe
before.
So.
There was always a scene before.
There was always a scene before, exactly.
That's it. What I've noticed in the last years, or the time that I've been here, has just been development, basically. India's changed a lot. India has a middle class suddenly. Infrastructure's a lot better, or at least a lot broader. And... it's the scene's changed in that now we have people from India coming to Goa. Before, it was pretty much just foreigners. The foreigners that are coming are a lot of Russians, people from all over. Before, it was mostly hippies or retired English people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
makes sense.
That's one of the ways it's changed.
So, in your comparison between North Goa and South Goa, imagine someone wants to come here and they're like, okay, where do I go? It's a big place.
Sure.
They've got a 2-week vacation. Where do they go? North or south? What are the differences that you can outline for them?
Well, first of all, I would do a week in each.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the north in general is just more busy. There's more going on. There's more restaurants and hotels and things in a much smaller area than in the south. The south And the feeling of the South kind of mirrors that. It's really, it's much slower. Even the local people just move a lot slower. It's a lot, you know, people kind of say, oh, it's a lot more like Goa used to be. But that's it's always been that way. It's always been a lot slower and a lot less hectic. But in some ways, a little bit more boring. There's not as much going on.
Yeah, it depends what you're looking for, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. But there is also some really beautiful, peaceful places in the north as well, and there's some lovely happening places in the south.
I feel like we're in one of those peaceful places right now. Like, just north of Mandurah, I guess,
yep,
where we are now. We're right now at this point of year anyway, just before the season, in mid to late November. There's not a lot of crowds. If you go north a little bit, there's so much. If you go south a little bit, there's so much. I feel like we're in a good hot spot here.
Yeah, this is a little pocket.
Yeah. So an old hippie taught me something. He was like, any of the cool places in Goa, the places which are really worth going to, don't have a road. Yeah, it's like, if you can easily drive there, it's probably not worth going
to. You have to work for your treasures.
Yeah, that's it.
So if there's someone that's coming to Goa for the first time, what is an experience that they need to have in order to say, I've been to Goa and I've done it?
Okay, there's a lot that you could put in there, and everybody, I guess, is gonna... It really depends on what you're after, but I would say the one quintessential experience is sit down facing out to sea and watch sunset. Just shut up whatever's going on around you, just be quiet, let the sun go from right there until it's not there, you know.
I have to say, for any Star Wars fans out there, it's like looking out at the sun setting in Tatooine. It's like big and red. There's not two of them. There's only one. But still, it's like the most beautiful sunset I think I've ever seen.
A nerd.
I am a nerd, but that's awesome. Okay, because I'm also female, so it's okay.
Female nerds are okay. Totally okay. Way more props.
It's fine.
Not the answer that I probably was expecting, but I think that I agree, because I just think Indian sunsets in general are unique because of the haze.
Pollution, beautiful. We don't know what it is, but it makes it beautiful, whatever it is. It really works in the favor.
Absolutely.
And actually, you know, to be honest, in Goa, the locals have never really valued the seaside. Mm-hmm. You know, the farming isn't good here. It's difficult. It's stormy in the monsoons. But the one thing that they all do appreciate is sunset time. And it's the time when the locals actually come down to the beach, and you'll see everybody just having a good walk. They'll walk up and down the beach. They do it at sunrise as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely more of them on the beach at sunset, and everybody just kind of walks up and down, or people sit down, and we all kind of let that moment wash over us
just
a little
appreciate
bit.
Appreciate it.
That's it.
Soak it in.
That's it. And we'll find ourselves sometimes a little bit lost in our busy world here in paradise. And if you've realized that you've gone a couple days without watching a sunset, that's a little bit of a, you know, a little alarm bell rings.
Like,
just a little notice.
What am I doing?
Absolutely. Like, come on. You know, if you haven't gone in the ocean and if you haven't sat and watched a sunset, then you might need to reevaluate.
Get your finger out. Get your finger out of your ass and do it.
That's it.
So, to end this lovely brief interview, number one, you should come to Goa, and if you are on the way, don't forget to come and visit Surfweller in South Arambul. We will have actual directions in our show notes and a link to their website. But just to end it off, if you're not a fan of guitars, turn it off now. But we have Corey and Jono going to sing a song that I don't know.
Jimmy Buffett classic.
That one.
I've heard your call, wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. arriving too late.
Beautiful. So guys, don't forget to check out our website, www.smallworldspodcast.com, to keep up with all of our upcoming photos, travels, podcasts, blog posts, videos, etc., etc.
Yeah, we are trying to do it all on the website, so you can go there for anything that you need from us. And we just want to say thank you very much. This will be the last episode that we're dropping here in 2019. 2020 is right around the corner, so get out there and enjoy the holidays with your loved ones. And from Leanne and I, thank you very much, and we'll see you next year.
Bye!